WMAL Washington.
105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL Washington.
A Cumulus station where Washington comes to talk. News now.
WMAL News at 7. I'm Heather Curtis. We did have several rounds of heavy rain yesterday with totals of about 6 inches. A flash flood warning is in effect throughout the D.C. region until 2 this afternoon. And we did, according to meteorologist Dan Hoffman, areas including Olney, Wheaton, and Annandale and Huntington got the highest rain totals yesterday. The good news is the worst is over. He says there will be some residual flooding today, and you should take caution if you're driving. Today we'll just get more showers and not as much rain, though. And this weekend, Ellicott City is marking the anniversary of a devastating flood that ripped through Main Street, killing 2 people and causing millions of dollars in damage. Another man died during cleanup. Despite the bad weather, events scheduled to mark the occasion will go on as planned today and tomorrow.
Some events will be reverent as we remember the 3 lives lost and the severity of the flood. Some events will be joyful to celebrate our community's resiliency and recovery. And many events will be to thank our loyal patrons and supportive community.
Maureen Sweeney-Smith is with the Ellicott City Partnership. She says starting now at 7 a.m. is a non-denominational gathering of healing and hope at the top of the hill. There's another candidate who's entered the race for Prince George's County Executive.
Prince George's County State's Attorney Angela Alsobrooks announcing on Facebook that she's running for County Executive, saying, quote, as the first full-time domestic violence prosecutor hired in 1997, education liaison, executive director of the Prince George's County Revenue Authority, and your elected state's attorney, I have worked to deliver results to our residents. I humbly ask for your support and trust once again as I seek to serve as your next County Executive. She'll face off against Senator C. Anthony Muse, who announced last month he was running. Maria Leaf on WMAL and WMAL.com.
North Korea tested its second intercontinental ballistic missile yesterday. Now South Korea is saying it will talk with the U.S. about increasing its warhead limit. South Korean President Moon Jae-in's chief secretary, Yoon Young-chan, says the Trump administration has agreed to take them up on an offer to talk about revising a bilateral guideline that limits South Korea from developing missiles. Do you know how to drive a car with a stick shift? Give yourself a pat on the back if you can. It's a dying skill.
It's a passing of an era, and then with the advent of the driverless car, most of us won't know how to drive a car.
AAA's John Townsend says only 3% of all the cars sold in America last year had a manual transmission. Now, you may have seen an internet meme, a picture of a stick shift with a caption, Millennial Anti-Theft Device.
When a thief looks into the car and sees it's a stick, he is less likely to steal that car. It's probably one of the better cars to have.
Bill Thompson on WMAL and WMAL.com.
And in sports, the Nationals' Rocky game yesterday was rained out. It was rescheduled as part of a split doubleheader tomorrow. The rainout, coupled with the Braves' loss in Philly, puts the Nats atop the NL East by 13 games over Atlanta. The game that had been scheduled for tonight happens at 7:05. Traffic and weather next on WMAL.
From seasonal storms.
Active weather on the way for the Mid-Atlantic today.
To full-scale weather events.
Some storms pack heavy rainfall, some wind, and maybe hail.
Trust WMAL for the summer weather info you need.
The wind gust right now, along with the heavy rain, the two main culprits with these storms that are coming through.
Get accurate and dependable forecasts from the Weather Channel.
I'm meteorologist Ray Stidick.
I'm Jeff Marr.
I'm meteorologist Daniel Banks from the Weather Channel.
On 105.9 FM at AM 630, Washington's Mall.
WMAL.
I'm Scott Tannen, founder of Boll & Branch, where you can get the world's most comfortable sheets for less than half of what you'd pay in the store. Our sheets are made from 100% organic cotton and get softer over time. Even 3 U.S. presidents have Boll & Branch sheets. Try them for 30 nights. If you don't love them, send them back for a full refund. Go to BollAndBranch.com today for $50 off your first set of sheets, plus free shipping with promo code SLEEP. Spelled B-O-L-L and branch.com. That's BollAndBranch.com, promo code SLEEP.
War, poverty, and disaster have left millions of children around the world orphaned, abandoned, alone. When their parents can't be there, SOS Children's Villages is there. SOS Children's Villages is the world's largest nonprofit for orphan and abandoned children. In 134 countries, including the U.S., they provide vulnerable children with a loving and stable family, medical care, and an education. Children in crisis are counting on you. To make a difference in the life of a child, go to sos-usa.org.
The nation's most advanced indoor shooting range, EliteShootingSports.com.
It's 7:05 at 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL. Traffic and weather. Here's James Stanley in the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center.
Thank you, Heather, and good morning. We've got quite a bit of street flooding across the area. Just watch for the high water marks. Here in the district, we have an overturned vehicle on the southeast-southwest freeway. It's eastbound right around 7th Street Southwest. They're pushing you into just one lane to get through the crash site. That's a crash on North Kings Highway affecting both directions between Timothy Place to James. All of those lanes are blocked from a crash through Virginia. Maryland Highway 4, we've got an accident northbound around Upper Pendle Road. That's a report of some street flooding that's got one left lane completely closed. Back here in the district, Pennsylvania Avenue West, bound between 26th and M Street. All of those lanes are blocked. That's a work zone. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
A flash flood warning is in effect until 2 this afternoon throughout our region. Today, overcast with rain at times, cooler with highs in the mid-70s. Right now, 66 in Gaithersburg, 72 in Washington. I'm Heather Curtis on 105.9 FM and AM 630, Washington's Mall, WMAL.
Now, the Saturday morning update.
105.9
and AM
630.
It is the Saturday morning update on WMAL and another very busy Friday afternoon in the nation's capital. And to help us put it all in perspective, John Gizzi is the chief political columnist and White House correspondent at Newsmax.com. John, good morning.
Good morning. Well, I didn't get out to meet a colleague for a drink last night, and I didn't get home early to help my wife prepare a lovely fish dinner. Guess what I was doing?
Probably covering another transition in the White House staff.
It seems as though Friday afternoons are opportune times for the White House to spill the beans. Last week, it was learning about Sean Spicer's departure and then seeing Anthony Scaramucci, the new communications director, in action with the newly minted press secretary, Sarah Sanders. Today, it was more serious and at a higher level. Reince Priebus, rumored to be on the way out for weeks, was finally out. The president announced via Twitter that Homeland Security Secretary and General John Kelly was the new White House Chief of Staff. All this occurred last night at 5 o'clock. At 67, General Kelly is the oldest person to hold the position of White House Chief of Staff since it was created in 1953, and he's only the third general to take the job, the others being retired Army General Jerry Persons, who was Dwight Eisenhower's second Chief of Staff, and of course, General Alexander Haig, Richard Nixon's last Chief of Staff. By all accounts, he's a two-fisted Marine and respected by colleagues and former comrades in arms. He lost a son in Afghanistan. He took on the job at Homeland Security, and I can say personally his briefings on the progress of building the wall along the border to routing out criminals in the United States who are here illegally resonate with the press. He's someone we look up to, and we have no reservations, regardless of our political feelings, about John Kelly. How he will fit in the White House and what he will do and how he will work with this president will be one of the defining moments of the young Trump administration.
What do you think went wrong for Reince Priebus?
Reince Priebus was a party man and not a Trump man. The same could be said of his former press secretary who took that job in the White House, Sean Spicer. They worked for the Republican National Committee, Reince Priebus being its chairman. he was neutral in the race for president and never said a harsh word about Donald Trump. Trump admired that, and in fact, because of the chairman's neutrality, he nicknamed Priebus Mr. Switzerland. When the election was over, obviously fond of Priebus for the loyalty he showed in the fall campaign, Donald Trump made him chief of staff. The problem followed. When one has a daughter and a son-in-law working in the White House, and one tends to get advice and somehow not tell the chief of staff, it's a little difficult to work. And then, of course, comes the blame game when things don't go right. The last straw would be the hiring of Anthony Scaramucci as communications director. Sean Spicer argued against it and then resigned in protest, albeit privately, over this new appointment. Reince Priebus opposed it, was overruled, and then had Anthony Scaramucci attacking him in public and suggesting in no uncertain terms that the chief of staff himself was a leaker. Yes, it was only a matter of time, but none of us thought it would take 48 hours.
John, how much of a role do you think the inability to produce Republican results on Capitol Hill played in Priebus's demise?
I think it didn't create a healthy situation, although the chief of staff himself should not be blamed for the lack of results on Capitol Hill. He's there to run the executive office of the president, not to lobby members of Congress. There are other people who do that job. Mark Short, whom I've known a long time, heads the legislative liaison office for the White House. In the end, though, I do think that Priebus presided over a situation in which Republicans had the House and the Senate, and he was not able to be a player of any kind in the effort to repeal Obamacare. It doesn't help the momentum.
Well, there hasn't been much momentum in the Senate in terms of getting health care reform. But, John, I wanted to put one thing in perspective and get your opinion on this. The way the media is spinning it, every time there's a vote, it's as though the game is over, dead, and it's never going to come up again. But is it more like a baseball game that's in extra innings, where this was the third inning and nobody scored, but there's going to be another inning, and then there's going to be another inning, and you hope that somebody ultimately scores?
I have been in the ballpark when that game was played. I was there when the House suddenly decided not to take up the alternative to Obamacare, the Trump-backed American Health Care Act, because Speaker Ryan told the president the votes weren't there. That's when Donald Trump and Trump team went into overtime and began working members, courting them. Congressman Billy Long of Missouri had some problems with the bill. Trump asked him about it and said, why don't you come over to the White House? He did, and he brought Michigan's Congressman Fred Upton, who crafted a compromise that brought enough votes to narrowly pass the bill and send it on to the Senate. Now, in the Senate, what's known as the skinny repeal, getting rid of the mandates and the tax on medical devices, fell short by one vote. Outright repeal lost by 55-45 2 days before. In the extra innings, you can continually come up to bat. And in this case, you will see both measures dealt with by the Senate, albeit in different forms. And I think this time, you'll see the man at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue working a lot harder than he did.
So the Republicans have had 7 years to come up with a plan, and they just seem to be scrambling. It's like a student that tries to cram for a test 2 hours before they have the exam. What is the problem? Why can't they get together on something?
Well, I think it's because you've got a lot of ego in that Senate Republican conference, as you do on the House side. And when someone proposes a measure, someone else is sure to say, it's just Obamacare light. We need to go further and make it more market-based. I will say one thing, that if there were outright repeal of this, one would not have to see a Senate and House pass a completely new plan, but perhaps six or seven pieces of legislation, ranging from letting people purchase health care across state lines to taking the earned income tax credit that lower-income Americans receive, turn it into a health savings account, and then, as the president campaigned, make so much more in health care deductible. These are just two parts of a bigger picture, but that would be the way to approach it. A simple repeal and then taking different ideas from different plans that have been passed and then pass all of them as simple bills. And you know something? We never needed to endanger our entire health care system to tweak it a bit.
We'll continue our conversation with John Gizzi. We're going to talk about Sarah Sanders, her new role at the White House, and the contrast in the early days of the administration in the White House briefing room with Sean Spicer. That's up next, but first, traffic and weather.
WMAL traffic now from the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center checking the roads. We have street flooding all across the entire Virginia, Maryland, D.C. area. Some of the biggest delays we're seeing through Maryland are on Highway 4, both directions, around Water Street, Piney Branch, both directions, west of New Hampshire Avenue. They're doing alternating lane closures because of where the street flooding is. Through Virginia, North Kings Highway, all of those lanes blocked from a crash around Timothy Place over to James, and Graham Road also affected around Annandale. That's some downed wires as a result of all of the rainfall. Southeast, Southwest Freeway. Way eastbound right after 7th Street Southwest. They're pushing into a single lane through there to get by an overturned vehicle that's now trying to be righted. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
More rain showers this morning, and we'll have a high temperature today only of 73 with a 60% chance of rain and breezy conditions, up to 17 mile an hour winds expected through the day. For tomorrow, though, sunshine. Going to be perfect. High of 82 in the sunshine. Monday, look for a high of 86. And sunny again on Tuesday with a high of 88. 70 outside in Washington right now, only going up to 73. 717 now on the Saturday morning update.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
We continue our conversation with John Gizzi, White House correspondent, chief political columnist at Newsmax.com. You're in the briefing room. You've been there with Sarah Sanders. You've been there with Anthony Scaramucci. And you've been in there, of course, with Sean Spicer. Give us a sense of the contrast between Sarah Sanders and Sean Spicer.
Sarah Sanders does not take it as personally as Sean Spicer does. She hears a lot of things flung at her, and she hears a lot of shouting and demands for recognition, and she's very much like the school teacher. It may well be that being the first mother ever to be a White House press secretary proves her most potent credential. She will cut people down. She'll tell them, "I'm not going to stand here if you keep shouting." And when she says it's going to be one question Thursday, this is not a license for people to ask repeated questions in machine gun style. She has a lot of her father's sense of humor, as when she announced from the podium on Thursday, "I'm going to put a rumor about personnel to rest. Sean Spicer will not be going on Dancing with the Stars," or at least we don't know that for now. And everyone enjoyed it. My guess is that there's always going to be tension when you have a president who is as aloof from the news media as this president has been. Only one news conference since he took office, out of the question. But when one has a press secretary who can be firm, who will get back when she says, and who always keeps her sense of humor, we say, that's not too bad. And frankly, having covered her dad for 25 years, I'd say that Sarah Sanders is a chip off the old block back in Arkansas.
So we've had a week to watch Mooch, Anthony Scaramucci. What strikes you about his first week and what his apparent role is at the White House?
What strikes me is that, as he was last Friday, he could be tremendously entertaining. A combination of a young Bob Hope a young Don Rickles with his insults aimed at colleagues within the White House. Quite honestly, Anthony Scaramucci is someone I think, based on his resume, comes from the wrong part of New York. He's from Wall Street when he should be a madman from Madison Avenue. He has no background in the media or communications. Personally, he is a charming communicator with his Trump-like gestures, with his jokes about how he wrote a critical article about the president and Mr. Trump reminds him of it every 15 seconds they're together, and how he will try to answer the questions of everyone. Whether he does that and whether he simply follows Sarah Sanders' dictum to try to follow up with everyone will determine his success. I might add one thing. He reminded me the way he talked and spoke like James Cagney in his early days in films. Let's see if he's really a tough guy. There's one difference. Cagney never actually said, "You dirty rat," in the movies. Mooch has said a lot more than that so far.
And word to the wise, if you tell them it's off the record, don't count on it, right?
No, don't count on it at all. That's another story for another time.
John Gizzi, White House correspondent, chief political columnist at Newsmax.com. And John, as always, great to get your insight on the big events at 1600.
Well, thank you. And there were lesser events that might go unnoticed. 2 days ago, someone whose name and face we didn't know, but whose voice two or three generations grew up with, left us. June Foray, at 99, voiced the characters in 1,000 cartoons on TV. Her most famous figure was, of course, Rocky the Flying Squirrel, that some of us grew up with. And I would say that when the Trump administration gets committed to something that clearly is not going to sell with the public, they might think of the words of Rocky, voiced by June Foray. When Bullwinkle would say, "We've got to do this," or "We've got to do that," Rocky would say, "That never works."
John Gizzi, follow him by Googling Gizzi on politics. John, thank you.
Thank you, and blessings to June Foray.
That's nice. 7:22 now on the Saturday morning update on WMAL. Coming up, we're going to talk with Mercedes Schlapp, of course, Fox News contributor and Washington Times columnist. And we're going to be talking with Mercedes about, of course, the transition at the White House. She worked in the Bush White House in communications, director of specialty media. So we'll get a very interesting perspective coming up from Mercedes on what's going on at the White House. Also, Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer is right around the corner. We're going to be checking in with Tony on the latest on the situation with North Korea. Also, Iran launched a missile, which failed. We're going to talk with Tony about that as well. And MS-13, it's coming up on the Saturday morning update.
It was summer when I found you. I noticed your strong arm, your easy approach, how attractive your interest was. And while all the others were good for just a year, you would stay true for 5 years. What a mortgage.
With Commonwealth One Federal Credit Union's 5-5 adjustable rate mortgage, you can enjoy super low rates with no adjustments for 5 whole years. Apply now, and you'll automatically be entered to win our $5,000 home loan sweepstakes. So apply today at cofcu.org/arm or call 703-823-5211 for Commonwealth One's strongest arm.
Irresistible.
Visit cofcu.org/arm for loan terms, conditions, and complete sweepstakes details. 5-5 ARM requires 5% minimum down. No PMI with 95% or less LTV. Subject to credit approval. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing lender. NMLS 1557.
In a town like D.C., debate is normal. But one thing we can all agree on is the need for quality health care. That's where we come in. We're Kaiser Permanente, and for more than 70 years, we've been delivering quality health care to our members. Another thing not up for debate is our total approach to health care, which combines the efforts of more than 22,000 physicians nationwide with a connected health care team to help treat illness no matter how serious. We back up our teams by conducting thousands of clinical research studies each year that have led to new procedures and treatments that make our patients and communities healthier. And we've pioneered the technology that helps our clinical teams diagnose and treat our more than 11 million members faster. We are Kaiser Permanente, and we believe that with better research, the right treatment, and connected and comprehensive care, we're helping millions thrive. Kaiser Permanente. Thrive. Visit kp.org/wearekp to learn more.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated, 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.
Saturday morning update, 7:25, and of course the talk of the town is the change at the White House, and second major change in the last 2 weeks with Sean Spicer out. But you may have recalled that Sean Spicer went on, did a very gracious interview with Sean Hannity. Reince Priebus made the rounds, speaking first with Wolf Blitzer last night, and then also went on with Sean Hannity later on in the evening. And I think it's refreshing to see that there is change and the people that are leaving are actually out there, putting themselves out there, being gracious, you know, projecting a very smooth transition. And Reince was on with Wolf for well over 10 minutes. And, of course, the first kind of back and forth with Wolf Blitzer and Reince Priebus, a very polite, you know, it was the usual very gracious Reince. And then Wolf starts pushing, right? Wolf's digging. He's digging. And we're just going a little further into the segment, and this is where Wolf is digging for what went down between Reince and the Donald.
Happy with the direction you were setting?
No, but look, I mean, I think bringing fresh face, I think bringing fresh people is a good thing. So, look, he has the best political instincts. Hang on a second.
Yeah.
He knows, I think, intuitively, when things need to change. I've seen it now for a year and a half on this wild ride with the president that I loved being a part of. But he intuitively determined that it was time to do something differently. And I think he's right.
Okay, so let's grind Reince just a little bit more. So Wolf continues.
But it's only been 6 months, not very long. When you say he wanted to do things differently, tell us precisely what he said to you, why he wants to do things differently and why you concluded that didn't include you.
No, I'm not going to get into that personal stuff. The president is a professional, and I'm a professional, and professional people don't discuss private conversations in public. But what I will tell you is this president has the hearts of all Americans at the top of his mind at all times. He wants to do what's right for the American people. And I think making changes in the White House is common, but I also think that they can be very important. And I think that this is a good appointment for the White House, and I think the general will do a great job.
When was the first inkling that you had that your time as the White House chief of staff was over?
I'm not going to get into that, Wolf. Look, I have a very close relationship with the president. I'm going to continue to have a close relationship with the president. And out of respect for him, you know, I'm not going to get into our own private conversations. But I'll just put it this. I think change is good. He wanted to go a different direction. I support him in that. And I look forward to working with General Kelly over the next couple of weeks.
I know you met with your...
A very gracious... Very gracious Reince Priebus, and I thought he handled that well. And, you know, Wolf just wouldn't quit. Just keep going for it. Hey, speaking of going for it, Kid Rock is going for it in Michigan. You ready for this? His real name is Robert Ritchie. So get ready for Senator Robert Ritchie, a.k.a. Kid Rock. You know, he's been flirting with a Senate run in Michigan, and there is a poll that came out yesterday that shows him far ahead in the Republican primary and within the margin of error in the general election. Poll is out from the Trafalgar Group. It shows it's game on for Kid Rock. Among potential Republican candidates, he has a 49.62% lead. The second is undecided with 28.10%. So he could, according to that, could breeze into the Republican nomination. Now, if they matched him up against the Democrat, it's the incumbent, Senator Debbie Stabenow. She leads with 43.337%. So 43.3 for Stabenow. Kid Rock, 41.17. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Can you imagine? Sit him next to Al Franken up there.
Tax compliance can be a real pain for business. That's why I'd like to tell you about Avalara's powerful tax automation technology. Avalara simplifies sales tax and other business taxes with real-time rate calculations and automatic return filing. Avalara's software already integrates with your accounting, e-commerce, and point-of-sale systems, so it couldn't be easier. Find out how the good people at Avalara can help you out at avalara.com. That's A-V-A-L-A-R-A.com.
WMAL Washington.
105.9 FM and AM 630. WMAL
Washington.
A Cumulus station. Where Washington comes to talk. News now.
WMAL News at 7:30. I'm Heather Curtis. A flash flood warning is in effect throughout our region until 2 this afternoon. National Weather Service meteorologist Dan Hoffman says rain totals for the region are around 6 inches, but there's good news for today.
The worst definitely seems like it's over. There is still residual flooding and high water in places, though, so still caution is needed if you're out driving, especially in low-lying areas.
Today, he says it will just be raining on and off. The storm has left more than 2,000 Dominion, Virginia customers without power this morning. Yesterday's storm comes almost 1 year to the day after a massive flood ripped through Main Street, Ellicott City. Floodwaters killed 2 people and caused millions of dollars in damages. Maureen Sweeney Smith with the Ellicott City Partnership says on this anniversary, Main Street businesses are recovering.
We're seeing 2 to 3 times the walking traffic we used to have, and we really appreciate that the community has been so supportive.
Events are being held throughout the weekend to mark the anniversary. President Donald Trump starting his usual Saturday morning tweeting with comments on Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election. He retweets a Fox and Friends post of a story about a Senate witness saying the firm behind the anti-Trump dossier also worked for Russia. Mr. Trump tweets, in other words, Russia was against Trump in the 2016 election, and why not? I want strong military and low oil prices. Witch hunt. And yesterday, the president scolds Republicans for not approving legislation to repeal Obamacare. In sports, the Nationals-Rockies game yesterday was rained out and rescheduled as part of a split doubleheader tomorrow. The rainout coupled with the Braves' loss in Philly puts the Nats atop the NL East by 13 games over Atlanta. The game that's been scheduled for tonight happens at 7:05. Up next, traffic and weather on WMAL.
Traffic and weather together. First on the Fives. Washington mornings on the Mall. Weekdays 5 till 9.
On 105.9 FM and AM 630.
Washington's Mall.
WMAL.
Where Washington comes to talk.
Hi, Rick Edelman here. Ever wonder why my wife Jean and I devoted our career to teaching people about personal finance? Everyone deserves the best possible advice for your personal finances and managing your money. My wife Jean and I started our firm to give you the service and expertise you deserve, regardless of how much you have to invest. You don't have to be a millionaire to talk to an Edelman financial planner. Whether you're worried if you're saving enough for retirement or planning for a trip around the world, we'll help you figure it all out. Let us help you achieve your financial goals, just like we've helped thousands of families just like yours.
Rank the number one independent financial advisor in the nation 3 times by Barron's. Call 888-PLAN-RICK. That's 888-PLAN-RICK. Or visit us at rickedelman.com. That's ricedelman.com. Barron's rankings of advisors has 3 major components. Assets managed, revenue produced, and quality of the advisor's practice. Investment returns are not considered. Only advisors who apply are ranked. Awarded in 2009, 11, and 12.
It's 7:33 at 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL. Traffic and weather, here's Shane Stanley in the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center.
Heather, thank you. And with all the rain, boy, we've got a little bit of a mess out there, especially if you're trying to get through some of the areas that typically do flood. Those areas are definitely flooding this time around. Maryland Highway 4 northbound around Upper Pendle, we've got at least one lane taken out there from street flooding. Also, 4 both directions around Water Street. The left lane on both sides just completely flooded out. The right lanes are getting by, but just watch for that. That could get dangerous and fill in quickly. We still have this overturned vehicle that's slowing things down on Southeast Southwest Freeway here in the district. It's actually on the east bound side. 7th Street West is where you're going to run into that at exit 5. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
Again, a flash flood watch is in effect until 2 this afternoon throughout our region. And today, overcast with rain at times, highs in the mid-70s. Right now, 72 in Washington. I'm Heather Curtis on 105.9 FM and AM 630, Washington's Mall, WMAL.
It's the model year-end at Nissan.
And right now, we're giving you the bottom line on our best lineup ever. Get big model year-end savings on Rogue, America's best-selling SUV. Titan, with America's best limited truck warranty. And the last of our 2017 lineup. Hurry in to Nissan's bottom line model year-end event and save up to $10,760 on select models. Or get 0% financing for up to 72 months on 12 models. Plus, check out the brand new Nissan Rogue Sport, the agile addition to the Nissan Rogue family. Bottom line, these offers end soon. Shop your local Nissan dealer and choose Nissan.com. Nissan, innovation that excites. For well-qualified buyers, up to $2,778 per month per 1,000 financed for 72 months. Up to $10,760 on 2017 Titan XD, $8,500 cash back, $500 MMAC cash, and $1,760 Platinum Reserve Bed Utility Package savings. Offers vary by model. Finance through NMAC and take delivery from new dealer stock. Call 1-888-858-8319 for details on offers, sales data sources, and warranty information. Offers end 7/31/17.
This is such a blow to investors. You know, right now, breaking news all around the world.
It takes courage to face up to things like volatile markets, long-term concerns, and Wall Street money traps. But if you're worried, unsure, unhappy, or losing sleep about your money, give us a call today at 1-800-563-7030. Again, that's 1-800-563-7030.
America never flies alone. The Air Force Reserve is always there as the country's wingman. We're ready to do the job, to serve when called upon. We move America, taking people and supplies to where they're needed. We build and repair runways on all kinds of terrain, under all kinds of conditions, to keep our planes flying. We maintain an array of magnificent aircraft, from sleek fighter jets to ones so big they can carry hundreds of thousands of pounds. And we routinely perform amazing feats, such as refueling planes as they fly to their destinations. We're your neighbors. We live and work in your communities and still hold part-time jobs that keep America strong. We are the Air Force Reserve, and we're proud to be America's wingman.
I listen to you every day.
Just about every single day.
105.9 FM and AM 630.
Thank you.
Washington's Mall.
WMAM.
Where Washington comes to talk. This is the Saturday Morning Update on 105.9 FM and AM 630. Washington's Mall. WMAL.
Saturday Morning Update on WMAL, and a very exciting end of the week in Washington. And to help put it in perspective for us, we are joined by Mercedes Schlapp, Fox News contributor and former White House Director of Specialty Media with President George W. Bush. Mercedes, good morning.
Good morning.
Big changes at the White House again on Friday, the exit of Reince Priebus. You've worked in the White House. At this point, what does the president need in a chief of staff, and what type of change do you see John Kelly bringing to that position?
Well, quite frankly, I think that John Kelly is going to bring discipline and just basic functionality to the West Wing. I think what we have seen is such a clash of personalities. It's been almost like the RNC versus New York and the New York squad. And I think that at this point, with the fact that the president has been just so unhappy with how the communication shop was being run, it was why he brought in Scaramucci, someone that, although his primary skills are not comms in the comms area, he is someone that the president respects, and the president, they speak the same language. And so in essence, when you're seeing in the case of Reince, it was definitely as the dominoes started to fall when Sean Spicer resigned, Reince Priebus was the next one in line. And it really is to find some sort of calmness, bring order to the White House. And I think you're going to see not only with Reince leaving, but you could expect more changes to come within the West Wing.
Well, it's interesting that Sean Spicer and Reince Priebus, both, of course, longtime high ups in the Republican Party, John Kelly coming from a military background, and Anthony Scaramucci coming from Wall Street.
Yeah, I mean, it really is such an interesting dynamic. But one of the things that I've learned about President Trump is that not only does he respect the generals, but he's seen John Kelly in action, and he really views him as one of the top talents in his administration. During the time when Kelly was heading the Department of Homeland Security, you saw action in terms of influx of illegal immigrants, that dropping, increase in deportations. He saw a man who was able to make things happen in a complicated environment. And what I think that for the White House, we've seen 6 months of just the constant soap opera, the constant political drama, the constant leaks coming out of the White House, that I think that the president basically just said, I've had it, and we need to have significant changes. You know, with that being said, both Reince and Sean obviously were very valuable, especially during the campaign season, during the election cycle, you know, just being very involved in and very successful at the RNC in deploying the resources necessary to help President Trump's campaign. So, you know, I think it's important to give them their due. But, you know, moving from a campaign to a White House is a very different functionality. And when you've seen these past chiefs of staff, like a Jim Baker under President Bush, like a Secretary Andy Card under the other President Bush, I mean, you see these different personalities, and they're usually very strong personalities, those who basically bring almost fear to the White House, not fear in a bad way, but just the sense of that you are working one of the most, if not the most important office in the United States of America.
You were director of specialty media at the White House. If you were to sit down with Anthony Scaramucci and Sarah Sanders on Monday and just talk about what they need to do, what do you see they need to try and accomplish?
Well, I think for the comms team, I find that there is so many messages. There's multiple messages coming out during the week. And it really is about streamlining their messaging and ensuring that that message is penetrating not only through the media, but also using your surrogates effectively, making sure that you're basically getting not only the national press coverage that you need, but the local press coverage that you need. You know, it's a very organized, you know, almost campaign that needs to be coming out of the White House. I find that some of these messages just get very muddled because there's so many that they're trying to put out there. I mean, it was Heroes Week this past week. When you're looking at it clearly, what was the biggest news this week was the fact that you needed to be talking about healthcare. In fact, you needed to be talking about healthcare reform for the past month and making that your main driver. So it is about organizing your messaging to a certain extent. It is about building out a very strong surrogate program where you have third-party voices out there, where you have your cabinet members out there and members of the administration talking about these critical issues that the president is working on. And so I think that that's where I would definitely start. And obviously the question of the leaks is I think, incredibly important, and it's something that I know Scaramucci has been focused on since he started this past week.
You mentioned the messaging, and as an example, late in the week, you had the announcement of Foxconn and a $10 billion factory coming to Wisconsin. The next day, you've got Jeff Sessions in El Salvador with the El Salvadoran government in the fight against MS-13. You have President Trump up in New York on Friday, again, the MS-13 enforcement strategy.
That's right.
This, I mean, day to day, the narrative changes and these things just get lost.
Right, and it does get lost. And I think that there's a way that there could be better coordination amongst the cabinet agencies. So, you know, the president and his team established a pretty decentralized form of managing the cabinet members and the work that they're doing. But there is a way to be effective and efficient. And being able to ensure that there's one clear, consistent message coming from the White House and trickling down into the cabinet, but as well as making sure that that message is reaching the American people. Because did you know that we had 2.6 GDP growth in this past quarter? I mean, that is such a strong number, and that we've seen in a long time. And all of this just gets muddled and lost when you don't have a very clear and concise message. And so I do think that that's going to be something that Scaramucci can help handle, and as well as, you know, fight back on so much of this liberal media coverage that's constantly hurting the administration. You know, they're dealing with this Russian investigation. This is a cloud that's hanging over this White House, and it is about trying to survive even that part of it, which is, you know, as we know, complicated, and it's not going to be easily resolved.
Mercedes Schlapp, Fox News contributor, also columnist at the Washington Times. And check out her column in Thursday's Times about the Democrats' better deal for American workers and the fact that it's probably not a better deal. Mercedes, thank you so much.
Thank you.
7:45 Saturday morning update on WMAL. And coming up next, we'll talk with Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, MS-13, North Korea, Iran, all on the radar screen this morning. First, traffic and weather.
Wet roads, a lot going on in the area. That's a recipe for some crashes, and we have a few. But for the most part, it's just street flooding across the area, as you've been hearing Heather talk about in the news this morning. On 4 through Maryland, northbound around Upper Pendle, we've got a left lane completely blocked out here because of flooding. Also on 4, both directions around Water Street. There's the irony in that. In Virginia, North Kings Highway, both directions around Timothy Place to James, they've got all of that blocked off because of an accident that happened a short time ago. Some downed power lines on South Reynolds between Edsel to about South Van Horn. Southeast-Southwest Freeway, that's a crash eastbound just past 7th. It's an overturned vehicle they're trying to right now. Only a single lane is getting pushed through, though. From GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
We're looking for showers today in the Washington area, only a high of 73, but tomorrow, sunshine, high 82, sunny on Monday and Tuesday with the high temperatures in the mid to upper 80s for the earlier part of the week. In Washington right now, 70 degrees, going to 73 this afternoon, 7:46 Saturday morning update.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
Changing the order this morning, we just talked to Mercedes Schlapp. We're now joined by Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer. He is Vice President for Strategic Initiatives and Operations at the London Center for Policy Research. He is a CIA-trained intel operative. And Tony, we'll be watching for you with Neil Cavuto coming up at 11 o'clock on the Fox News Channel this morning. Good to have you with us early.
Hey, thanks to have me. Thanks for having me. Good to be on.
Well, I want to talk to you about MS-13. We're hearing a lot about MS-13 this week. We hear it in the news, but I'm not sure how many people know the history, the origins, the breadth, and the scope of MS-13. Of course, Attorney General Sessions in El Salvador this week, working with the El Salvadoran government, and Donald Trump yesterday, Suffolk County, New York, to announce the initiatives being taken against MS-13. But tell us about this gang.
Yeah. Well, first off, Rick, really the origins come from the civil wars in Latin America, especially in El Salvador, back in the 80s, essentially. This is an organization which essentially was anti-government, stills anti-government, does everything it can to essentially survive by violence. And they are actually involved here in the United States, growing very rapidly. In Latin American communities where they're essentially dominating by the fact that you've had these unescorted children coming out of Latin America. They have nothing to do. They're an easy mark to join these groups. And essentially they do anything you can think of a mafia doing, of a criminal enterprise doing. They engage in drug activity, moving and selling and using. They move weapons. And one of the most hideous things they do, and this is something that we know from looking at them here in Northern Virginia and in the area, is they're involved in human trafficking. They are very much involved in moving young girls and some boys around for purposes of exploitation. So there's no lack of evil in their ranks, and I think Jeff Sessions and President Trump is very much appropriately focusing on going after them as much as they can.
Can you help us understand the organizational structure on this? Is it just a lot of sort of lone wolves that locally get together, or is there a hierarchy and an organizational structure?
There is an organizational structure. It is not as pervasive or as well linked as, say, a professional criminal enterprise like the mafia. But they do have their ability to reach back into country. They understand the system. They actually have prison, elements of their gang in prison. And one thing about them is that the philosophy, basically, there's certain standards, essentially, you must meet to be a member. And they're very big in the body art. They have all sorts of, you can tell, their tattoos. It's very distinctive. And it is an entity. It is something that you'll have to go after the leadership of to make sure it goes away permanently.
Tony, this is what President Trump had to say about the brutality of MS-13.
Mm-hmm. They like to knife them and cut them and let them die slowly because that way it's more painful and they enjoy watching that much more. These are animals.
How do you combat, it almost sounds like the ISIS mentality. How do you combat that?
Well, it is. They are a terrorist organization, and you have to essentially be brutal. You have to make it clear that this is not going to be acceptable. You have to have U.S. citizens, people like me and others who just live in the community, be aware of it. I've seen these guys show up on a location with the police in tow, kind of behind them. The police have to be brutal. And not in an illegal way. You've got to arrest them. You've got to put them in jail. And the second thing you need to start looking at doing, Rick, and this is going to probably upset some of the audience, they're a terrorist organization. You have to start looking at counterterrorism methodology at the origin. So if we can't get, you need to start looking at El Salvador for working to make sure that they are dealt with there as well. So, and by the way, I've seen here in Northern Virginia where they've actually taken machetes and cut people's arms off and left them for dead. So the president is completely correct, but we cannot for a moment believe that we can somehow negotiate or give them overnight basketball games somewhere to keep them occupied. They're occupied very well doing criminal activities. So,
has there been much of an effort in the Obama administration? It seems that Jeff Sessions went down to El Salvador. Tell us a little bit about the cooperation we're getting now and how it may contrast with the past.
Well, I think that's the thing. We've engaged the El Salvadorians. The El Salvadorians are our allies. We've had a long-standing working relationship with them from the 80s, and I think this is something the Obama administration never really understood how to leverage. And to your point, Sessions is trying to essentially look at this issue as a global issue. It's not just about the fact that we have gangs roaming around doing bad things. It's a criminal enterprise. Now, local law enforcement, as I mentioned here in Northern Virginia and other places, has put together task forces and had begun to work on it, and there were some federal prosecutions. But it wasn't, Rick, a full-blown, let's really take this on as an issue effort by the Obama administration, which, like with so many other things, I've always scratched my head and never understood why they didn't take it on as a legitimate issue.
All right. I want to turn to North Korea launching yet another intercontinental ballistic missile, their second test flight. And not only is the United States upset about it, but Japan's foreign minister, deep concern. South Korea says it plans to hold talks with the United States on increasing the warhead limit for South Korean missiles. So what is next in this back and forth?
Well, I think President Trump's made it very clear that we're going to have to break the paradigm of the past, and that means doing some things which are not going to make people happy in the region, especially the Chinese and North Koreans. One of the first things is, as you said there, the South Koreans are looking at essentially kind of doing things more, being more prepared to do some things back to North Korea should things happen. And as General Dunford, chairman of the Joint Chiefs, said this last week, military options are indeed on the table. And this is something, again, a bit of a not necessarily a departure. I think the Obama administration kind of hinted that we would do something. But it's been made very clear that the intention is to take military action against the North Koreans if their behavior becomes so provocative that they either take some action to attack an ally or become essentially postured to do something. I don't want to say they're going to go back to the Bush doctrine of preemptive strikes, but it's very clear that military options are on the table. And so what we can see next now is, as President Trump has given the Chinese several chances, I can see him going to leverage the Chinese. I think the Chinese are much more vulnerable to certain things than they recognize, especially regarding the China, South China Straits. So I think the president needs to bring pressure, economic pressure on the Chinese to comply to help us with North Korea. So this is a, I don't see this as a short-term game, Rick. I see this as something that's going to have to develop over the next year or so, because, again, we didn't get here overnight. So it's going to take some time to develop a, an effective policy to both leverage the Chinese and push the North Koreans to do the right thing.
So the U.S., France, Germany, and Britain say they're raising concerns with the United Nations over Iran's launch of a satellite carrying a rocket into space yesterday. Tell us a little bit about this situation with Iran.
Well, again, look, if you're talking about the North Koreans, you're talking about, in some form, the Iranians. The Iranians have been working hand in glove with the North Koreans on both ballistic missile technology as well as weapons technology, I mean nuclear weapons. So it's really interesting that if you actually get diagrams, get the blueprints of their missile facilities, they're the same thing. I mean, literally, they're using the same blueprints to build these things. So whatever the North Koreans have, the Iranians are either close behind or working with them. And this is something we have to take seriously again. So whatever, again, we need to think of these folks, we know, work together. And if the North Koreans have it, the Iranians are going to either get it soon or already have it. And so when you see something like this, it's just simply a confirmation that the Iranians are pushing as hard as they can to develop an intercontinental ballistic missiles just like the North Koreans. And again, to what purpose? The purpose is obviously, the whole thing, Rick, is to actually put forth this lift capability to throw a nuclear weapon a great distance across the continent.
I want to turn to the sanctions with Russia. President Trump reviewed the final version of the Russia sanctions legislation from the Congress, and it's your understanding that he did sign that last night.
I got to know. Yeah, the statement is basically, look, he's reviewed it. He's good to go. I'm not sure if he actually signed it or not, but he said his staff said that he will. So I think it's a done deal. I think President Trump is not going to oppose it. And so I think in the end, all these things, and let me be clear, you and I have talked about this before. The Russians under Putin are not our friends. There's areas of cooperation. I think the president recognizes that. But they have their own agenda. Putin, I believe, based on the evidence we've seen, is truly trying to push them back into having a Soviet-type empire. So we have to understand that's what their end game is, end state is. We have to do things to essentially support our allies. And I do believe that this is why the president's going to support the legislation.
And we've got about 2 minutes left, Tony. Sure. The issue of transgenders in the military, big story this week, Donald Trump making an announcement, a tweet that caught a lot of people by surprise.
Yeah.
And it's a difficult issue, and it's one that brings up emotions. But if you could give us a perspective, somewhat of an operational perspective of transgenders on the battlefield and, you know, the day-to-day in the military.
Yeah, you know, and let me be clear for the audience. I was one of those who was part of that survey years ago, which the Army quietly conducted about allowing homosexuals and lesbians to serve. And I was like, you know, I believed it was fine. I mean, they'd been there before quietly serving. There was no reason not to have them there. So this is not about who you sleep with, who you identify. This is all about what you do in uniform. And the gays and lesbians I've worked with in the past don't wear on their sleeve who they sleep with. It's just not appropriate. And there's two areas of this which we have to be concerned about. First off is the disruptive factor. I'm sorry, if I showed up one day wearing a skirt, that would be pretty disruptive, and it would not help discipline and focus the military. And this gets worse. If you have issues like that coming up in combat, it gets worse. Trust me, anything that happens regarding personalities gets magnified under stress. Secondly is the cost. There's been a number of studies talking about how if you join, like if you're a Bradley Manning wanting to become a Chelsea Manning and you want the military to pick up that trans, you know, becoming transgendered, a transsexual, that cost is astronomical. It's not just $8 million a year. We're talking about upwards of billions when you talk about surgery, aftercare, drugs. And it's one of those things where it opens Pandora's box Rick, by the fact that what's to stop someone who joins them saying, well, if they get to have sexual reassignment surgery, why can't I have bigger breasts or bigger parts of my body? So this is where we just don't want that. It's not necessary. It's not. And the other thing, let me say this real quick, for all those social justice warriors, like I've heard the former chairman of the Joint Chiefs come out and say he was for this. They've never once, during the time they were in command, asked for a transgendered soldier, airman, or sailor to come join them. It's not a military requirement. So I always go back to what the military requirements and necessities are. Not, it is not a right to serve in the military. You serve with the military. And by the way, Rick, if you want to, if people, transgenders can serve the government, they can become GS civilian employees. So it's not like they can't serve. It's just the military is not the place to try to figure out who you are.
Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, London Center for Policy Research, will be watching for you.